Hello friends, this is Doug Batchelor. How about an amazing fact? Did you know that as you're listening to this broadcast right now, you're glowing? That's right. It's recently been discovered that human bodies emit a visible light in extremely small quantities at levels that rise and fall through the day. Research has shown that people give off a dim light about 1,000 times fainter than the levels that we can see with our naked eyes. In fact, virtually all living creatures emit varying amounts of weak light, which is thought to be a byproduct of biochemical reactions involving free radicals. Keep in mind, this visible light is different from the red glow of body heat captured by infrared cameras. In fact, infrared cameras show some of the hottest parts of the body give off very little light. To learn more about this faint human light, scientists in Japan used extremely sensitive cameras capable of detecting a single photon, the smallest unit of light. For 3 days, 5 healthy young men were placed bare-chested in front of the cameras. They sat in perfectly dark, light-proof rooms for 20 minutes every 3 hours from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. The researchers found the body glow of these men rose and fell over the day, with its lowest point at 10 a.m. and its peak at 4 p.m. The findings suggest these light emissions are linked to our metabolic rhythms that fluctuate through the day. It was also discovered our faces glow more than the rest of our body. This might be because facial circulation is more dense and closer to the surface. Also, melanin, in the skin pigment, has a fluorescent component that could enhance the body's minuscule light production. Since this faint light is linked within the body's metabolism, these findings suggest in the future, special cameras that can spot the weak emissions of a person's light might help identify medical conditions. Did you know the Bible speaks about a man who had a glowing face? Stay with us, friends. We're going to learn more as Amazing Facts brings you this edition of Bible Answers Live.
Welcome to Bible Answers Live, brought to you by Amazing Facts Ministries. Are you looking for a clear, concise answer to your most challenging Bible questions? Maybe you're struggling to understand difficult passages of Scripture. If so, you've come to the right place. Join us now as we open God's Word to discover His will and find honest, practical answers to your Bible-related questions. This broadcast is pre-recorded. If you have a Bible question, call us Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, let's join our host, author, speaker, and evangelist, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Hello, listening friends. You found your way to Bible Answers Live, and this is a fresh live program. If you would like to call in with a Bible question, that's what we're all about. We have lines open right now, and the number is 800-GOD-SAYS. That's an acronym for 800-463-7297. As I said, we do have some lines open, so if you have a question relating to the Bible, God's book, this is a program dedicated to searching for the answers together, and we'd invite you to give us a call. My name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is John Ross. Good evening, listening friends. Pastor Doug, let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we ask for your blessing upon this program today. We ask that you'd give wisdom to us here as we search the Scriptures. We ask that you'd be with those who are listening, wherever they might be. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Doug, you opened with a fascinating fact about the human body illuminating or transmitting just small amounts of light. And then you spoke about the face having more light that's shining forth. I mean, I was talking about just tiny little amounts of light. But who was it in the Bible whose face shone?
If you read in Exodus 34, verse 29, I think people already know the answer when I say Exodus, that Moses, when he went up the mountain, he was talking to God face to face. And when he came down, you can read this here, "Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tables of the testimony, the law of God, in Moses' hand, that when he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him." His face was shining with some kind of inner glow. Matter of fact, it was so powerful The Bible even says, finally, the people said, look, Moses, until you veil your face, we can't even talk to you. Mm-hmm. And then you can read in the New Testament where when Stephen was about to be executed because of his faith, the heavens were opened and he saw Jesus and his face was shining with the glory of God. And so, and this principle is in the Bible. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when it says that they had no artificial clothing, people think that that's because they were just streaking around naked and just totally oblivious that they were. In reality, they probably talking to God on a regular basis. They were glowing. Mm-hmm. And after they sinned, the light went out. Jesus is called the light of the world. And then he says to the church, you are the light of the world, that we're to set our light on a hill where everyone can see. And the devil's been trying to obscure that light. But God's plan is that his true people allow the light of Christ to shine through them. The Bible is called a lamp. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And if you're reading your Bible and you're praying, you will glow better, friends. And maybe you'd like to know more about that. And we have a free offer for you tonight. It's called The Bride of Christ. And it's, matter of fact, we once titled this lesson, Clothed with Light, mm-hmm. because it talks about this woman in Revelation 12 who is glowing. She's wearing the crown of stars and glowing with the light of the sun and standing on the moon. And it's a symbol for God's church. If you'd like to understand that prophecy and more about what the Bible says about God's true church, ask for our free study guide tonight, The Bride of Christ.
The number to call is 1-800-835-6747. That's our resource line. And the offer tonight is The Bride of Christ. And we'll be happy to send that out to you. Well, Pastor Doug, let's go to the phone lines. Our first caller this evening is Mark, and he is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee, listening on WITA. Mark, welcome to Bible Answers Live.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's a difference between forever and ever. I know that the word forever can mean a limited period of time, but I wonder if forever and ever means like a much longer period. And then I looked up the word ever in Strong's, and one of the words it gives is age, perpetuity, and course, and all that. And does the word age imply like millions of years?
Well, there's different places in the Bible where you find the word forever. In the New Testament, I believe, for instance, when you look in Revelation 11, it uses the word forever there, and it's talking about, if I'm not mistaken, it's the word anon. Let me look at that.
Look at Revelation 14:11.
Yeah, there we go. When you find the word forever here, forever and ever is
the literal translation unto ages of ages.
Yeah, from ages to ages, and it varies a little bit depending on which reference you're talking about. Did we lose our caller? I think we did.
Mark, are you there?
No, it looks like he dropped off.
Oh, he might have. Well, Mark, if you give us a call back, let me give you the number 1-800-463-7297.
Hopefully, Mark can still hear us.
Pick up on that, yeah.
Perhaps on the radio program. Anyway, so the actual words in the Hebrew and the Greek, depending on the verse, could be different. But when it's repeated forever and ever, it's usually an emphasis of what that means. Sometimes Jesus says, verily, verily. Mm-hmm. And, God sometimes would call a man like Abraham, and then he'd say, Abraham, Abraham. There's like an emphasis when you say something twice. And so you read it in its context, and you can understand it a little better there. And we should also remind our friends, we do have other lines open. If you have a Bible question tonight, it seems quiet on the phone lines tonight. Just pick up your phone. You got a good chance of getting your Bible question on tonight's broadcast. We're hooked into over 300 stations. 800, God says, that's 800-463-7297.
Just to say something else there, Pastor Doug, about forever. Sometimes, you read some verses, for example, here in Revelation chapter 14, it gives the impression that the destruction of the wicked or the fires of hell will be this endless burning forever and ever. But, looking at the context of forever, does it mean eternal or does it mean until life ends?
That's exactly it. When you look in for instance, when God is talking about us living forever, mm-hmm. well, you read all the other passages about that, it means without end. Mm-hmm. When it's talking about the destruction of the wicked, they'll be consumed until they are no more.
Right.
is the context there is different. Sometimes the words are different too that are used depending on the Old and the New Testament. So context is very important in that question.
All right. Well, we go to the next caller. Dorothy is listening on the internet from North Carolina. Dorothy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Pastor Doug.
Hi, Dorothy. How can we help you tonight?
I have a question about what the Bible says about marriage and when alcohol is involved in a marriage. I'm married to an alcoholic almost 20 years, and it seems like lately he's drinking more. And the more that he drinks, the more that I don't want to be around him, not meaning leaving him, but just going to a different part of the home and just not being around him. And it seems like the more I don't want to be around him, the more he drinks. And, you know, I just am looking for some Bible advice about that.
Wow. You know, that is a heart-aching situation when you're in a relationship where there is one of the spouses is basically addicted to a substance. And you don't want to... Don't let that discourage you. Of course, it's an opportunity for your faith to grow. So, you know, if there is abuse, sometimes when there is alcohol, there is, you know, you might need to separate yourself from the situation. Obviously, if he's open, then you would want to, you know, engage him in counseling, get some good Christian counseling. But, you know, encouraging accountability as far as possible and at the same time giving that support that's needed is very important. So, you know, I appreciate your question, and I hope that helps a little bit. You have any thoughts on that?
That is a difficult situation, especially if the spouse doesn't recognize a need or want to acknowledge their need of Christ. The best you can do is pray for them, try and be a godly witness. Pray for strength. God's going to have to carry a person through some difficult situations.
And sometimes you need to pray. I've seen people pray and they say, you know, I prayed and it got worse. Mm. Well, sometimes what's happening is God has to bring them to the bottom before they can really get the victory.
Right.
So, okay, I hope that helps a little.
Thanks for your call, Dorothy. Going to our next caller, Augustus is listening on the internet from San Diego, California. Augustus, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And your question tonight?
Yes, my question for Pastor Doug is, I read in 2 Samuel 24, verse 1, it says, "And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David." So we're saying 2 Samuel 21, verse 1 said that the angel of the Lord moved David to count Israel. But then when I look at... 1 Chronicles 21, it says, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." So, I don't know, it says in Samuel that it was the angel of the Lord, and it's the same account, but it's saying two different people moved David.
That's a good question. Let me see if I can reconcile that a little bit. David and the nation of Israel had become proud because they were winning victory after victory, and the nation was growing, and their territory was growing, and their income was growing. And David began to think, boy, I've got a pretty big army. I've got a big nation. I wonder how big they are. And the people were also feeling that way. So when it says the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, the people stopped trusting in God and began to trust in their own strength and numbers. And so because of that, the Lord withdrew his protection from them. Satan came in. He took advantage of the pride in David's heart and the people, and David began to number how big the army was. Now, even David's general, Joab, said, "This is a bad idea, David. You know, it's not coming from the right motive." And when he started numbering the people, a plague came on the nation of Israel. So you're getting the same story from two different perspectives, the author of Samuel and the author of Chronicles. They're really saying the same thing. One is approaching it from the attitude of the people's hearts. David and the people had become proud. The Lord was disappointed with them. And the other is approaching it from Satan used this pride as an opportunity to create problems and cause sickness and death.
Well, thank you, Pastor Doug. Somebody else might be waiting for you. Thank you, and God bless you and the program. Bye.
All right. Hey, I appreciate that, Augustus. No problem. Pastor Ross.
You know, you mentioned earlier in the beginning here, we spoke about the light and so on. Amazing Facts has just released a brand new documentary series dealing with, talking about creation and the fall. And tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, we are very excited, friends. We've got something that Christians from all faiths will really appreciate. How often have you heard someone say, why is there sin? If God is loving, if God is good, why did God make a devil? Did he make a devil?
Mm-hmm.
Why do innocent people suffer? All these questions about if God is powerful, why doesn't he destroy the devil? We've just finished a project we've been working on for 3 years now called The Cosmic Conflict, The Origin of Evil. Using the Bible, it takes people back in time to the center of the universe, and it talks about how this beautiful angel that we now know as Satan, his name was Lucifer, his rebellion began in heaven. And it's a DVD, mm-hmm. high definition, that we encourage people to use as a witnessing tool. If they want to know more about it, they can not only go to Amazing Facts, you'll see it's the first thing that pops up, just type in Amazing Facts, but you want to get your order in now. There's a special that they have now that you get an additional witnessing gift called Panorama Prophecy. But you can also simply type in Cosmic Conflict. It'll take you to the website, cosmicconflict.com or cosmicconflict.org. And it's a pretty exciting program. By the way, you want to at least look at the trailer. Mm-hmm. Just go to Cosmic Conflict. Look at the trailer. That really explains it pretty well.
All right, going back to the phone lines, Ron is listening on WMCA from Greenwich, Connecticut. Ron, welcome to the program.
Is it Rod?
Yes.
Rod. Hi, Rod, you're on.
Hi, I'm having trouble reconciling two passages. I apologize if I can't quote the exact passages.
Okay.
First is in the book of Acts, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Okay.
And then in the Gospels, I remember Jesus being quoted as saying, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
This
well,
is very disturbing to me because it seems in conflict, and I don't understand it.
Well, the first reference is Acts 2:21, where it says, and it shall come to pass that whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the Jewish mind, to call on the name of the Lord did not mean that somebody suddenly found out that, they're on a diving board and there's no water in the pool, and they're going to call out, now they've got eternal life. Calling on the name of the Lord, it was a practice of the life. In other words, those who turn and their habit now is to call upon God, they will be saved. It's not talking about someone who just, dials a number at the end of their life and automatically whoever does that is going to be saved. That, sounds like it's trivializing what's important. And I've seen some churches and pastors use this verse that way, and it's really not faithful to the rest of the scripture. Yes, anybody can come to Jesus right now just like they are, and if they genuinely repent, they can be justified, forgiven, and they get the gift of eternal life. But they need to genuinely repent. It's not just verbally saying God's name and you're going to be saved. If there's no repentance in the heart and they're saying, Lord, Lord, that's what Jesus said. A lot of people are going to say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I don't know you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. Their lives are full of iniquity, but they're using God's name. So that's calling on the name of the Lord in vain. So it's just the idea of calling on the name of God in the Hebrew mind, which the apostles all were, meant more than, like I said, dialing his number one time and that's it. It's a way of life.
We got a book dealing with the subject on what a person has to do to be saved. It's called Three Steps to Heaven. And it talks about, what is involved. Is it just simply saying a prayer, or is there maybe something a little bit more, a dedication of the life to God and a willingness to follow him? For anyone listening, if you'd like to receive that book, Three Steps to Heaven, the number to call is 1-800-835-6747. 1-800-835-6747. And the book is Three Steps to Heaven.
By the way, Rod, that other verse is Matthew 7:21-22. Many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord. And so I think that's the one you were referring to.
Yeah, but to me, didn't he say that they prophesied in his name? You know what I'm saying?
The word prophesy there means that they are preaching in his name, but they don't know him.
So it's not like it's just a last-second conversion.
Right. These are people. Yeah, the Lord has made it really clear there's going to be a lot of folks who are hypocrites. They think they're saved, and they really aren't surrendered to the Lord. This is one of the big issues Jesus had all through his ministry in talking to his own people, the Jewish nation. They had the Bible. Many of them said, hey, we're God's children. And the Lord said, look, you're not God's children if you don't believe in me. You're the children of your father, the devil. And so there's a lot of weeds that are sometimes sown among the wheat. And Jesus said that those weeds are the children of the wicked one. But they're pretending to be believers. So hypocrisy is, of course, an epidemic, not only in Christianity, but probably many religions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jesus is sharing here.
Very troubling.
Yeah, it is. You know, the book that Pastor Ross mentioned, I think that you would really enjoy.
Three Steps to Heaven. Again, the number is 1-800-835-6747. And again, if you want to know what you have to do to be saved, give us a call, 816-835-6747. We'll be happy.
Try that one more time. 816?
Did I say
800? How long have we been doing this program?
It'll help to look at the right number. 1-800-835-6747. That's our resource line. All right, our next caller is Melinda, and she is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Melinda, welcome to the program.
Yes. Hi, Pastor Ross. I had a question for you and Pastor Batchelor.
Uh-huh.
What I want to know was how do I know if my prayers are being answered? Because I say a prayer, and I've heard you say before that the answer might be positive or it might be negative. It may not be what we want. But how do I know if I can't hear them? How do I know I got an answer?
That's a good question. Well, first of all, you look at the evidence around you. Sometimes it comes through God's Spirit. Sometimes the Lord will show you something in His Word. All right, let me explain. Let's suppose you're simply praying for physical healing from some sickness. The evidence that prayer was answered is you get better. You may pray about it several times and nothing happens. The Lord could say to you what He said to Paul, look, I'm not taking this away from you because my strength is made perfect in weakness, and you're going to have to learn to trust me and bear this cross of hay fever or whatever your problem is you're praying about. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll pray about something and you'll wonder if it's God's will, and then you look in the Word and you say, oh, Lord, thank you for showing that to me. Now I know this is the answer or it's not the answer. Sometimes God's Spirit will speak to your heart. And, you know, God will often speak to you through others. You'll pray for guidance, and all of a sudden someone will come along, and they've got the wisdom to tell you just what you needed to know. So you just keep your mind and heart and spirit open to the leading of God. Stay in His Word, and you look at the providence around you. So it depends on what you're praying for. Some people are praying for $1 million to show up in the mail. They just got to keep checking the mailbox.
Uh-huh.
If they check the mailbox
and there's no $1 million isn't in there, then
you got to check the newspaper for the help wanted section. Uh-huh. And they got to get a job.
Yeah.
So the Lord might be directing them in other ways.
So it's you really don't know. You just have to trust in whatever result it is. It's from God.
Well, you know, I'd like to give you a better answer. There is a book, I actually wrote it a couple of years ago. I'll send you a free copy, Melinda. It's called Teach Us to Pray. Not only talks about prayer, talks about answers to prayer, which is really your question. If you call the number Pastor Ross is going to give you, we'll send you a free copy.
Okay, Pastor. Thank you.
The book's called Teach Us to Pray.
The number is 1-800-835-6747. And the book again, Melinda, is Teach Us to Pray. Not only for you, Melinda, but for anyone listening who wants to know how can they pray? How do they know that their prayers are being heard and answered? Our next caller is Kelly, and she is calling from New York, listening on WMCA. Kelly, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hi, Kelly. You're on the air.
Hi. My question is, in the beginning, when Satan was an angel and he lived in heaven, if God could foretell the future and was so powerful, why did he allow him to...
Why did God make him? Or why did he allow him to rebel?
Why, why did he banish him onto earth where he could create sin?
All right. I cannot miss the opportunity to use your question to remind people that Amazing Facts just released a, it's about 1 hour DVD program talking about the origin of sin. And it's got animation and recreations. It's like a docudrama. But I'll give you a quick answer. By the way, that's called Cosmic Conflict. God is all-knowing, but he's also a God of love. And because he's a God of love, he gives his creatures freedom to make decisions. I could ask anybody that gets married, why are you going to have children? You know, assuming the people that get married are. Do you have any guarantee that they're going to love you? Do you have any guarantee they're going to obey you? And, of course, the answer is no. There is no guarantee. But people take that risk of having children because to love, you need to have freedom. And so they go out on a limb. God allowed Satan to choose to love himself more than God. And we can see the results in our world of self-love. Sin is selfishness, is really what it is. So I don't know if that helps answer what you're asking for, Kelly. Something else we can do is send you the study guide, Did God Make a Devil? And it addresses this question in there as well. Would you like a copy of that?
Yes, thank you.
The number to call, Kelly, is 1-800-835-6747. Ask for the study guide, Did God Create the Devil? God Create the Devil?
Yeah, it's got some beautiful illustrations in it and also helps specifically answer your question.
You know, Pastor Doug, that's such an important issue there because there's a lot of things happening in our world and people look at it and they say, well, if God's all-powerful and he's a God of love, why would he allow that? I guess another way to look at that is, despite all of the bad things going on in the world, you can still see God's hand holding mm-hmm. back the forces of evil.
That's
so
right.
God is involved. God is concerned. And we got to keep reminding ourselves that this is not the end. We know the way the story ends, and it ends good for those that love God.
Right. There's a battle raging in this world, and oftentimes we sense it because it's being fought on the battlefield of our minds and mm-hmm. hearts. People have seen before the image of the good angel on one shoulder and the little devil on the other shoulder and people getting pulled in two directions with temptation and their conscience of what they should do. And there really is a battle raging. And as Pastor Ross said, you know, we often think about, isn't that terrible? They just had a head-on collision on the freeway. We don't think about the millions of people driving that are being protected mm-hmm. from those things. And so God is good and he's interacting. It's not just the devil that's in this world. God's still in the world. And they'd enjoy, Kelly, you and others would enjoy that new DVD, Cosmic Conflict. At least go to the website, cosmicconflict.com, and check out the trailer. I think that you'll be encouraged by what you find there. I hear music coming up behind us, and that tells us we're going to take a break, friends. We still have the best half of Bible Answers Live coming your way. If you've got a Bible question, we still have a couple lines open. Pick up your phone and call 800-GOD-SAYS. 800-463-7297. And please remember that so many of the questions and the resources we make available during this broadcast, you can hear them and study them by going to our website, which is simply amazingfacts.org. We'll be back in just a moment.
Don't go away. There's more Bible Answers Live in just a moment. Don't forget to tune in to Pastor Doug Batchelor's weekly television broadcast, Amazing Facts Presents, which is aired on major networks including ABC Family, The Church Channel, Vision TV, and Superstation WGN. Check your local listings or contact us to find out when and on what channel the programs will be aired. Are you interested in additional Bible-based materials for further study? Consider Amazing Facts' free Correspondence Bible Study course, or our sale catalog featuring hundreds of inspiring books and tapes. To order, call our resource line at 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. Don't forget, friends, Amazing Facts is a faith-based, listener-supported ministry, operating only by God's blessing through your prayers and financial gifts. We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678, or online at amazingfacts.org. Welcome back to Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. This broadcast is pre-recorded. If you have a Bible-related question, you can call us from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Sundays and receive clear, honest answers directly from Scripture. Call 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, please join us as we look to God's Word for more Bible Answers Live with author and evangelist, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
We're back listening, friends, and some of you joined us along the way. You wonder, what in the world are we listening to? This is Bible Answers Live. It's a live international interactive Bible study. We'd like to invite you to interact right now. If you've got a Bible question, you can call that toll-free number, 800-GOD-SAYS. That'll bring you to our studios. Keep a pencil handy because we give out another phone number for our free resources and sometimes multiple websites where you can continue your study through the week. We want to try and get as many callers as we can in. We said at the beginning we had no callers. Now we're full up. So who's next?
We'll go to Joan, and she's calling from San Luis Obispo in California. Joan, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call, Pastor Doug. I enjoy your program very much. I always learn something, and as you were speaking to the young lady earlier about prayer, I almost saw some of my question answered. So if I'm redundant, excuse me.
That's okay. And how would you word your question now?
I have walked with the Lord pretty much most of my life, but I have a terminal disease, but we're all terminal. Nobody ever told everybody that, I guess.
Right.
But I find that I seem to, my prayers become repetitious. I have my little prayer book, you know, where I write down people I'll pray for or something, and then I think I come back to this again and again and again. I don't know how to reach out further or...
You feel like you get in a rut sometimes with your prayers?
Exactly.
Well, let me suggest something. First of all, if you call, we will send you the book we mentioned earlier, Teach Us to Pray. For instance, the Lord's Prayer, some people say that over and over again. That was never really the Lord's will for us to just repeat that like a mantra. The Lord's Prayer, Christ said, pray in this manner. It's an outline for our prayers. First, we talk about God, and we talk about His glory and His kingdom. Then we talk about our needs. And in the Lord's Prayer, it never really says me or I. It's always us. It's forgive us, lead us, deliver us. And so prayer should also be selfless. The more we pray for others, I think the more we get our prayers answered too. So one thing you can do is look at the prayers in the Bible. There, a lot of Bibles will have the prayers of the Bible listed other places in the Bible. And you can sometimes use them as a pattern for your own prayers. And that'll give you a tip.
And you know, also, if you take the book of Psalms, you could read a psalm and then meditate on that and say, well, what is that telling me? What is that revealing to me about God and His love for me? And then pray as the Holy Spirit brings thoughts to your mind. So praying with the Bible open in your hand is also another way that you can keep your prayers from becoming redundant.
That's very comforting, yes.
That's a good point. The Psalms, a lot of them are songs, but they're also prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I know everybody who's a Christian, Joan, you're not alone. We struggle with falling into the rut of saying the same thing. And sometimes we can sing without thinking about the words. Sometimes people pray without thinking about what they're saying because it's a habit. And so you really want to pray from your heart. And you have to concentrate to do that.
Yes.
So if your mind wanders, just bring it back in focus
on
your prayers.
And what was what number do I phone?
Let me give it to you again. It's 1-800-835-6747, 1-800-835-6747, and the book is Teach Us to Pray. Henry is listening on WMCA from Bronx, New York. Henry, welcome to Bible Answers Live.
Yes, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. How can we help you tonight?
Is it written anywhere in the Old Testament or the New Testament that there's such a place as purgatory?
You know, the word purgatory is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. The Bible does, of course, talk about the lake of fire where the wicked are consumed. But, you know, sometimes different religions have developed a sort of a never-never land in the middle, a kind of a holding place. Mm-hmm. And some have, you know, manufactured the doctrine of purgatory, a place where you supposedly, it comes from the word purged. You're not quite good enough for heaven, but if you go to purgatory, we're going to purge out the final stains, and then you can go. And, you know, and some churches teach that you pray for people to get out of purgatory, or they've got Abraham's bosom, which is another kind of waiting room for heaven, supposedly. But it doesn't teach that in the Bible.
Well, you know, Pastor Doug, I think part of that has come from an understanding of, well, a misunderstanding of certain passages of Scripture which talk about the destruction of the wicked. Some view it as this ongoing, endless burning. And people say, well, you know, that person wasn't that bad. I mean, they weren't good, but they don't deserve to burn forever. So maybe there is this third place where you can kind of put them for
temporary
a little while.
Temporary burning.
Yeah, and get them back in line and then send them to heaven. But it's not in the Bible.
Yeah, you can't find the word anywhere. You know, Henry, you would probably appreciate a booklet that we've got on hellfire, because in that it addresses purgatory. It's a classic book by Joe Cruz. We'll send you a free copy. All you've got to do is call the toll-free number and ask for the book, The Twisted Truth on Hellfire. You just tell them hellfire and you'll get it.
The number is 1-800-835-6747. Ask for the book on hellfire, The Twisted Truth on Hellfire, and we'll be happy to send that out to you. Thanks again for your call, Henry. Our next caller is Joe, and he is calling from New York, listening on WMCA. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Joe. You're on the air, and your question.
Okay, I have a question to is Jesus, is it all about Jesus, the Bible? Like, is the Bible, if it was never written, it would still be all about Jesus, God's whole plan and giving his son to us to die in our place?
Yeah, the central theme.
More about Jesus than about the words in the Bible and the whole Bible.
Well, the central theme of the whole Bible is Christ. And even Jesus said, before the New Testament was written, he said that the scriptures, all the way from Moses through the Psalms and the prophets, talk about him. In other words, when Joseph is sold by his brothers for the price of a slave, and then he forgives them, Jesus was sold for the price of a slave. When Abraham took his son up the mountain and the wood was on Isaac's back, Jesus, the Son of God, went up the mountain with the wood on his back. When Samson stretched out his arms and laid his life down, Jesus stretched out his arms and laid his life down. When David went up the Mount of Olives weeping, Jesus went up the Mount of Olives weeping. And so you just go through all these stories in the Bible, and you can see the shadows and echoes of Jesus everywhere in the Bible. So yes, the whole Bible's about Jesus.
So it's just entirely about Jesus?
Well, he is the central theme. It's like Paul said, the cross and him crucified was everything. The cross of Christ can be seen in all the stories in the history of the Bible. The sacrifice of Jesus. He is the lamb in the Old Testament that was sacrificed. That's why John the Baptist pointed to him and said, this is the Lamb of God.
That's right.
So the cross is the axis on which the entire Bible revolves.
Wow.
Pastor
That's
Ross?
That's amazing.
And, you know, even in the Old Testament, you'll read stories, and you might think, well, you know, how does that relate to Jesus? Well, it relates in that it shows us God's hand throughout history, how he's been involved in the lives of people, how he's guided, how he's forgiven, what he has done to protect and sustain people. So from front to back, the whole Bible illustrates and brings to light different aspects of Christ and his work and the plan of redemption.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Yep, it's amazing. I've got to put a book together someday called Christ and All the Bible. It's a class I teach. I have an evangelism class that I teach. And it just deals with how Jesus is in the Bible from cover to cover. And it's one of my favorite subjects. But, you know, you would enjoy our study guide on the Bible, Joe. And it's the Amazing Facts Study Guide number 1. It's called, Is There Anything Left You Can Trust? It deals with the Bible and dependability and the theme of the Bible. We'll send you a free copy.
The number to call is 1-800-835-6747. And the study guide is Anything Left You Can Trust. It's all about the Bible. Next call is Brandon, and he's calling from Bakersfield, California. Brandon, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. My question isn't about a particular part in the Bible, but I was curious. It's my belief that Satan doesn't have the ability to be everywhere at once like God does.
So right.
He has to, obviously, he has his priorities of what his plans are in this world, but in terms of his fallen angels, do they have the ability to actually plant thoughts in a person's mind as if, you know, like an evangelist passes out tracts and stuff like that? Does a fallen angel actually have the ability to plant a thought into a person's mind that wasn't there to begin with?
I believe the answer to that would be a resounding yes, because while the devil and his angels cannot read our minds, because the Bible says in, I believe it's 1 Kings chapter 8, that God and God only knows the thoughts of men's hearts. Yes, I think it's 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 32. The devil can't read our minds, but they can put a thought in their minds. You and I, as we're talking right now, I'm putting thoughts in your minds, and you are in mine. We can influence each other's thinking. Somehow, demons, and even angels, good and evil angels, can impress our minds with thoughts. How they do that, I don't know. I don't know if they're whispering in our conscience somehow. But somehow they can speak to our spirits. And that's how temptation comes. The devil, personally, is too busy to go around and tempt everybody in the world. But we know everybody in the world's tempted. So the only other alternative, Holy Spirit's not tempting them. God doesn't tempt anyone, the Bible says. The only alternative is that Satan's angels are doing that work.
Yeah, we have a verse in 1 James, James chapter 1, verse 14, talking about temptation. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. And so you have the lust, but you also have the enticement, the temptation. And
that's
somehow
a good point.
The devil's able to entice a person. And he's had 6,000 years, or his angels have had 6,000 years to work on that.
They've been practicing.
Yeah. So the closer to God you are, the less likely these angels are to tempt you, or do you think it would be the other way around, the more likely?
Well, I wouldn't say the less likely they are to tempt you. I'd say the closer to God you are, the easier it is to resist the temptation. Christ, when he was tempted, met all the temptation with the Word of God. And so, you know, the very fact that Jesus was tempted, I mean, could anyone on earth be closer to God than Christ was? Yet he was tempted. And the temptation in the wilderness was not the only time he was tempted. I'm sure that all through his life, the devil or his minions were assaulting Jesus with various temptations. But he just walked in the presence of God, and he walked in the Spirit, and he had the Word of God in his mind, and that's what he used to fight temptation. He lived by the Word.
Okay.
And that's our best weapon.
We've got a book, Pastor Doug. You wrote this, Tips for Resisting Temptation.
Brandon, perfect.
If you're there, anyone else wanting to know more about how you can resist these enticements of the evil one, the number to call is 1-800-835-6747. That's our resource line, and we'll be happy to send out the book, Tips for Resisting Temptation. Cindy is calling from Miami, Florida. Cindy, welcome to the program.
Hi. Hello. Hi.
Hi, Cindy. I almost called you Miami. I used to live in Miami. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. I apologize. I know last time I called and I fell asleep. I'm sorry.
Oh, waiting for the call. That's not good advertisement.
Sorry.
But anyway, what's your question?
I have a question in regards to why is it that God had, he would sometimes have the Israelites in general, when they were getting rid, like when they were settling into the Joshua and the Israelites, or sometimes during the kingdom years, he would have the Israelites not only just kill off the men, but also the women and children. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, no, it sounds very brutal. They were at war, and, you know, we have this Geneva Convention, and we're supposed to be very careful about... in our wars, you know, guarding women and children and non-combatant civilians. These nations were extremely corrupt in their belief and even the diseased. They were offering their children to pagan gods, sacrificing them in the fire. They were doing things as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah or worse. And they all had a vow to also, exterminate the Israelites. God had warned them not to intermarry. Now, these people knew the Israelites were coming and they could flee and escape. They were basically warned those who refused to surrender and flee that and vacate their cities, they were going to be annihilated. And so the nations that did not take some precaution, they were met with the hurricane of God's wrath.
You know, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, God is talking to Abraham and says that his descendants were to go down for four generations, and then they were to come back to the land of Canaan. And the reason they were to go and then come was because the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. So it appears as though God was giving these nations, these pagan nations, opportunity to repent. The iniquity had not yet reached its limit. But then when the children of Israel returned, there was that judgment aspect that came into play. There is one other thought with reference to the destruction of the children. You know, if those children were left to grow up in those pagan environments, they probably would have turned out like their parents. But if they were, you know, if their lives were taken under the age of accountability, talking about babies and very, very, very young children, there is a possibility that, you know, they might be part of the resurrection and grow up in heaven versus growing up in that pagan environment.
And then be lost for eternity. Yeah, so I know these things are difficult to understand, but the national wars that they had back then were extremely brutal, and it was also sending a signal to the other nations that would attack Israel. It is a difficult question, but, you know, someone might also put it this way. Why did God allow women and children to die in the flood? I mean, whether it's a sword or a flood, I mean, there are judgments that come. And not only did judgments come from the Lord against the enemies of Israel, judgments came from the Lord on Israel, women and children, as well as the soldiers. Because when they turned from God, their protection was withdrawn. So I hope that helps a little bit, Cindy. That is a tough question, and we hear that frequently.
Mm-hmm. Next call is Mary Ann, and she is calling from Jersey City, New Jersey, listening on WMCA. Mary Ann, welcome to the program.
Hi, gentlemen. I came across a radio program. A man wrote a book, a timeline of the end of the world to be in 2011. Is it possible that he figured it out? Because
well,
I know it says in the Bible, no man shall know.
Yeah, I think I'm acquainted with the book you're talking about. And
I'm sure you are.
I wouldn't put a lot of stock in that. I'm not questioning his sincerity, but that same man wrote another book that predicted,
yes,
I think
did.
It was 1995 or 96.
94.
Oh, there's 94, that the world was going to end, and he obviously missed it. So I think his credibility as a prognosticator would be pretty low. You know, the Bible says if someone claims to have this kind of prophetic gift of setting dates and then they fail, Moses said, or God actually said through Moses, you know, don't fear them. Now, the Lord may come before that. We don't know the day and the hour. I mean, it could happen sooner. We don't know that, but I would take that book and...
You didn't read it, I guess. It seems...
Well, I've heard the speaker. I've spoken with him before. I've spoken with the author before.
I wanted your opinion on it because I had my misgivings also.
Yeah, I'd find the circular file. Because Jesus said... Jesus said, if any man... says he knows the day or the hour, right then and there is a good cause when they start setting dates to go the other way.
You know, we always seem to see this when there's some event taking place. When we're coming up on the year 2000, there was no end of people predicting the coming of Jesus just around the corner. But, you know, in reality, we need to be ready every day.
Exactly.
Because we don't know this could be our last day.
That's right. Yeah, we have no guarantee of tomorrow.
All right, next caller then is Joe, and he is calling from Wayne, New Jersey, listening on WMCA. Joe, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Joe. And your question tonight.
Yeah, my question is, what you were just speaking with about the end of times and all.
Okay.
How this one man predicted a date. But not to get on the topic of him, but I read Revelations, and it's very hard to understand. How would one decipher Revelations and try to understand the end of times?
I'm glad you asked. There is a seminar that we have online, and you can watch it for free. It's called Prophecy Code. prophecy code. Matter of fact, there's a website. It's still under construction, but you can watch these videos for free there. And the website's called BibleProphecyTruth.com, BibleProphecyTruth.com. And there's a whole video series there called Prophecy Code. But let me give you a quick answer, Joe. Revelation is written in symbols. Once you understand what the symbols mean, it's very easy. For instance, it talks about a dragon in Revelation chapter 13 and chapter 17. What is that dragon? Well, you look in the serpent and the dragon in Genesis is the devil. Revelation talks about a lamb in chapter 5 and other chapters. What is that lamb? You go to John chapter 2, and it says that lamb is Jesus. Or Gospel of John chapter 1. The Lamb of God is Jesus. So you apply what the symbols are. We talked about, we've been offering a lesson tonight on the Bride of Christ. It's on Revelation 12. If you ask for that lesson, it goes right through Revelation chapter 12, and it shows how this woman is a symbol of God's church. So when you get the symbols, and we give you the scriptures that show, it proves what these symbols represent. We don't just make these up because we ate lobster last night and had a dream. These are the symbols that are given in the Bible. What do these different images and visions mean? And you can understand them. The keys are there to unlock it.
You know, Joe, there's so much in Revelation to study, but you can understand it. Amazing Facts has a Bible study course that is free. You can take it through correspondence or you can take it online. But it'll go through these various themes of Bible prophecy and explain what these various symbols represent. It's absolutely free, and I think it's well worth just calling that resource line and saying, I'm interested in that online Bible study course that you guys have to offer, or they'll be able to give you the information that you'll need.
You can either study it online or you can mail in the lesson and fill them out, get a hard copy.
Send it back and someone will correct it for you. The number is 1-800-835-6747. 1-800-835-6747. Also, Joe, don't forget that website, Prophecy Code.
Prophecycode.com.
Our next caller is Joey, and he is calling from Arkansas. Joey, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And your question?
Yes, sir. I was just wondering, can angels appear in dreams to either, you know, I guess to tell you what's going on, or, you know, to, I guess, clear your doubts or I guess prove your doubts or.
A quick answer would be yes. You can read in the New Testament where an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and warned him to, you know, flee to Egypt. And I think that angel came in a dream. Mm-hmm. And so angels speak, you know, visibly to people. Sometimes angels will whisper. Sometimes people will see angels in visions, like John the Revelator in the last book of the Bible. So the simple answer would be yes, angels can appear in our dreams. Probably not only good angels, but as we said earlier, in the same way evil angels can tempt us, I wouldn't be surprised if evil angels cannot also induce nightmares. That makes sense?
Right.
You know, you referenced the angel appearing in a dream to Joseph. It's interesting. You can read about in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, not only did the angel appear in a dream to Joseph when he was to flee into Egypt, but then the angel appeared in a dream to Joseph when in Egypt and said, now it's safe to go back. So both times, in a dream, an angel appeared to Joseph. That's Matthew 2:13 and Matthew 2:19.
There you have it. Hope that helps a little bit, Joey. And we do have a lesson on angels. It's really talking about angel messages from outer space, and we'll send you a free copy if you just call our resource number.
1-800-835-6747. Ask for the study guide, Angel Messages from Space. Will is listening from Florida, Jensen Beach. Will, welcome to the program.
Yes, good evening.
Evening.
Good evening here, maybe good afternoon where you are.
Well, it's pretty much evening.
Out of Second Epistle of Peter, chapter 3, verse 8, But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is, which is italics, with the Lord, as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Do you think that, because it's hard to, there's five verses here, there's three above that and two below it, just to try to explain that one verse, it might have a different meaning, but it's settled in between... When when Noah's day, when the flood was there, and also the judgment day. Do you think that might be a timeline thing, a timeline verse?
Well, it could be. Let me tell you why. It says the day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. Peter's actually quoting from the Psalms where it says 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday when it is past. And the world right now has lasted, biblically, we've got about 6,000 years of Bible history. Then in the millennium in Revelation 20 is 1,000 years, like a 1,000-year Sabbath, for a total of 7,000 years. God told Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat of the forbidden fruit, you will die. In that day, you will die. Well, they didn't die that day. They lived 900 years. But no man lived beyond 1,000 years.
No man lived.
They all died within that first...
465 or something like that.
Yeah, they all died within that first millennial day, you might say. So if a day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and God said, you'll die in the day you eat the forbidden fruit, they did die in that millennial day. And,
yeah,
you know, compared to eternity, what's 1,000 years? You know, out of time. I'm afraid we're going to be able to have to cut you off. Is there one last real thought real quick, Will?
I'll call you again.
All right. Yeah, I hated to do that to you, but I thought we'd get halfway through a sentence and lose you here. Do we have time for, probably don't have time for one more, do we? Nope, we don't have time for one more. Hey, Will, I hope that helps a little bit. By the way, we do have a study guide that talks about the signs of the second coming. And
Ultimate Deliverance is what it's called.
Yes, we'll be happy to send that to you. Talks a little bit about some of the signs. We, again, don't set a date or an hour, but there are signs when we can know when that time is near. And I think it also addresses specifically 2 Peter chapter 3. Those are some of my favorite verses in the Bible. And verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Friends, that's what's happening soon. We're seeing the signs everywhere. Jesus is coming soon, and we want to be ready. That's why Amazing Facts has this program. If you'd like to know more about who we are and what we do, write down amazingfacts.org. You can keep these Bible studies going all week long. And drop us a line along the way. God bless. Until next week, friends.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program. And join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Does everyone go straight to heaven when they die, and hell, does anybody really go there? Is there a world between where spirits of the dead hover just out of sight? Learn the hidden truth about death and beyond. Will we see a nuclear Armageddon? Will millions disappear off the scene? Find out the hidden truth about the final days on planet Earth. The Amazing Facts Hidden Truth magazine reveals Bible secrets and separates scriptural fact from religious fiction. Easy to read and full of truly amazing facts, this eye-catching magazine is fascinating reading for all ages. Available for just $2, the Hidden Truth magazine can be yours today. Call 1-800-835-6747 and ask for offer 262. Did a loving God make a devil? Is there any actual evidence that the Bible is inspired? Get your copy of the Hidden Truth magazine today. That number again is 1-800-835-6747. If you've enjoyed this broadcast and would like to know more about what the Bible teaches, sign up for the Amazing Facts free Bible course. Go to www.bibleuniverse.com or call 1-800-835-6747 and ask to enroll in our free Bible course. 1-800-835-6747.